Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Pam Denton, and today we are talking about emotions on Rise to the Top, where we discuss different topics of the feminine form of leadership. So just as an introduction to myself and the show, if you haven't been on our show before, we are talking about female leadership and the feminine form of leadership that I believe has been quite hidden from our society, in our world. And the topics that we talk about here on this show are for women and men, and mainly for women to embrace these important topics of leadership. It is my sole purpose to help women unlock the amazing gifts of authentic leadership. And I want to help women express their full authentic leadership. And in many cases, this means being emotional, being spiritual, connecting to spirit, which is actually my favorite form of leadership. And the messages that are presented here are usually brought to me by the universe. People reach out to me. Today, Ellen Newhouse is going to be on our show, and she reached out to me from what I call the ethers, the universe, and said, hey, I've got this amazing topic. And today we are going to discuss the female form of leadership in the form of divining ourselves or defining ourselves beyond shame, fear, and guilt. So just from the heart of my core being, I can say that I have sat with thousands of women who have these emotions that are blocking them from moving forward. And I know that these emotions create density in the body and that they stop us from moving ourselves forwards on our spiritual path or our authentic life purpose. These emotions are blocks in our system. They actually hold our spine stuck in what we call, and here's a technical term for you, C5 coccyx, where the top of your spine is bound with the bottom of your spine, and you become basically a bucket. And so right now I've changed my language up to be a little bit more modern, and I call this black blobs, carrying black blobs around in your personal bucket. And a lot of my work is about helping people spiritually unload these lower vibrational emotions so that we can live from spirit, so that we can be uplifted, because right now in the world we are facing a lot of negativity. I call it negative interference, and it is binding women up in many ways. So today our conversation is about, why do we need to look at these emotions? They're pretty ugly. Shame, guilt, and fear, like these are some of the lowest vibrations of lowest vibrations. And how can we even dive into feeling these emotions to move our life forwards? And what is this going to do for me as a woman and my leadership? How is this going to make my life better? So by the end of this show, what we want to do is present to you a plan to feel uplifted, to feel hopeful, to feel spiritually connected, because this is the new form of leadership that is emerging on the planet. And I say, get on the train. You know, if you don't get on the train is going to leave the station, and it already is. So let go of the negative interference, let go of the black blobs, work with healers like myself and Ellen, and learn how to lead from spirit, because this is the new way. And I just feel like the density is lying to us. It's not telling us the truth right now. It's telling us lies. So we have to get real with ourselves. And that's part of the female form of leadership. It's about processing, being open, being transparent, being vulnerable. So all of these things we are going to hear in Ellen's story and in her healing practice as she talks to us about. Oh, shame, fear, and guilt, three of the lower vibrational energies. So we're going to get Ellen on the line and talk about this and the female form of leadership and facing our emotions, which I feel is really important right now for us to move into spiritual leadership. So here we go. Hi, Ellen. Are you there?
I am. Good morning. Oh, am I ready to get on your train? I've been listening and I'm like, yes, let's get on the train together. Let's go. Let's do this. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. All right. Boy. So why would we face these emotions, shame, fear, and guilt? What's in it?
Let me tell you, if there were any other way to get the job done, we wouldn't do it. I am here to tell you, after 27 years in private practice, if we could avoid it and accomplish what we want to get done, we would. Because, as you said, they are dense. And the hardest part about them, Pam, is that many of these feelings, especially the most toxic of them all, shame, they live in hidden places. It's almost like sleight of hand. It's so good. It doesn't want to be known because it lives and thrives on secrecy, on silence, and on judgment. And it is the most toxic emotion. And we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to say to people, I'm really ashamed. I'm having a lot of shame in my life. We don't want to say that. And I think one of the best things we can do, we don't even have to talk to a professional. We can just pick up the phone and call our dear friend and say, I really need to talk this out. Can I have a moment? I'm really feeling ashamed about something that I did or something that's in my history, or even that I'm not where I want to be. A lot of people, you know, have shame about, gosh, I can't figure it out. And if you're sitting there at home and you can't figure it out, can I tell you, sister, you're in good company. Because right now, right? I mean, right now, it is dense. It is a dense, dense, dense time. Now, there is great purpose to it. And we are being guided, all of us, to face our greatest fears, to face the wall within ourselves that says, I am not worthy, and that is another feeling under the cloak of shame. I am not worthy of whatever I want, whether it be love or whether it be a job or whether it be taking time off to just be with my children, whatever it is. If you can face that in this dense time, what is being asked is that we all faced our greatest fears, our greatest blockages, so that we can release them and then allow this new light that is coming in. And let me tell you, what I see coming down the road is beautiful, but right now it's hard. It's not easy. So behooves all of us to get very, very real and not pretend that this doesn't exist. And I think, you know, when you were talking about your C5 shape, that bucket, and that we're holding a lot of the negative emotions, if we just peer into the bucket and we're not afraid, or if we say, you know, we sit with another person who can witness us in our fear, in our shame, in our judgment of ourselves, and realize, hey, no, this is not the truth of who I am. But shame will convince you, let me tell you, that you are not worthy. And I think that's one of the biggest shams going. And it's not the truth. The truth is always love. So if you are feeling anything other than love, know that that is the energy to be released. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I heard a couple things in what you're saying. One, that beyond shame, I'm going to put this in like real practical terms for our listeners out there, that beyond shame is what you want. So And love was the next thing that you said. But on a real practical level, there are things that we want to be doing, like being with our children instead of at work for 10 hours a day, being happy instead of being pissed off all the time. And shame holds us back from those things. So can we dive a little bit deeper into the voice of shame? Like, maybe you could give us some examples of what does shame say to us to make us feel unworthy inside of our heads, or even from a parent or people around us?
Awesome.
What does shame say?
The very first thing that shame says is, I have no shame. And so So when it says, I'm not ashamed, I have no shame, then there can't even be a conversation about what I might be ashamed about or what I might be holding shame about. So often in my private practice, I'll say, okay, because shame hides in our body. It hides in deep in ourselves, and we may not even remember it. But when I say, do you feel worthy? Let's say somebody is looking, they want to meet their significant other. They want to meet their person, and they're just struggling. They can't meet the person that they want to be with. And I say, well, do you feel worthy? And I'll watch, and I'll notice as their eyes, you know, go downward, or they dip their head a little bit. That tells me, yes, shame is living in this person's body. They're expressing it through how they're feeling. So what I'll say is, just without judgment, just notice how that question made your body form. Now, let's do the opposite. Let's open our chest up. As I'm doing it, my head is going back. Let's, as if you're lifting up to the sky. Can you hold that and breathe into your heart space? Can you breathe into your chest? And often, as much as we may want to be happy, as much as we may want to meet our person to walk through life with, as much as we may want to have other things that we don't currently have in our life, it's really hard to shift from that one position in our body to that open-hearted, you know, expectant position. You know, we may resist it because it's uncomfortable to go from what we know to be true in ourselves to the new. It's a really uncomfortable shift. And one of the things that shame does is it says, no, we will not open to the possibilities. We will stay closed. We will clench our heart down. We will clench our throats. We won't even communicate our fear, you know, because often fear is an easier place to begin than shame. And so people can speak more readily about what they fear, but often right behind fear or below it is a shadow of shame. And shame can come from the most insidious of situations. A lot of girls grow up looking at magazines that don't match what they look like, and suddenly they have body shame. They didn't have to have a big, giant, abusive situation to create shame. It can come from sexual abuse. It can come from very dramatic, abusive familial situations, but it doesn't have to come from. It can come in an instant, and it can get our bodies locked. And that's part of what I love is in the work that you do and in that other healers do is unlocking the body so that it can speak a language that sometimes we can't even find in our own minds because we've become so accustomed to holding shame. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, you know, and while you're talking, I'm feeling this. I had two visions. One was that shame is that kind of bully that pushes you back and says, no, there's only one person that rises to the top. There's only one person that deserves to be better. You know, and that's our 1% of wealth in this world. It's like we live in this shame industry where we keep pushing people down. And in women's work, gosh, I'm getting chills when I'm talking about this. In women's work, it's making us smaller and smaller and smaller. And this voice plays over in our head that keeps us small. And we don't even know what it feels like to be big inside of ourselves until someone like yourself, Ellen, or myself comes along and says, be big, Take up space.
Exactly. Exactly.
Get rid
or
of the
help.
Shame.
Exactly, or even helps the body to shift. And that's what I love about body work. I mean, I love talk therapy as well, but there's something unique about body work in that by shifting our postures, in an essence, by shifting the energy in our bodies, we can begin to feel differently. Because sometimes just talking it out doesn't change the energy. And we need to change the energy in this time so that we can move forward. We can, you know, not be so conditioned to what is like the voices that say, no, 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 who are you to think that you can rise to the top? Who do you think you are that you could have your own voice? Who are you to even begin to walk in that direction? And what I love about what's coming in and the energies that are coming in is that it is lighter, and all of us ask to release this heaviness so that we can walk in a much lighter being, in a much lighter body, so that we can more readily say, yes, I deserve that. Yes, I know I am worthy of that. I mean, it reminds me of a conversation I had just yesterday with a friend of mine at the end of my day of seeing patients, and what I heard her saying, in essence, you know, she is trying to move into this new job, and basically she got the job offer, but then all of this unworthiness rushed to the surface. And it sounded just like this, like, well, who am I to think that I can be a part of this executive team? And, you know, she doesn't have a college degree. And I said, excuse me, you've been on an executive team. Who are you not? Who are you not to be a part of this team? And I think right now, all of us, women and men, have to begin to ask ourselves, who are we not to be at the top of our game? Each and every single one of us, because we all need to know that in essence, all of us, when we sit quietly, who we are is love, which is the antithesis of shame and fear. It is the truth. We are all love. And we all need to begin to lead not only with our heads, but with our hearts. And I think, you know, shame will even say, no, 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 don't sit quietly. It's too scary to do that. And right now, part of what we all need to do, and I'm really speaking to myself here as well, is to take the time to connect with the truth of who we are in our hearts. And to know beyond the shadows of shame, beyond the shadows of fear, is that we are in essence love. So all of this reaching that we're doing, you know, for love in essence, whether it's an actual love partner or a better job or whatever more that we're wanting, if we can connect deeply with our heart in the truth that we are love, we will know that actually we already have everything that we want. Now, it takes a little bit of time because Earth is the densest place to have it show up. But if we know that that's who we are, can you imagine how different the world would be, Pam?
Yes. Yeah. It's just a way better place to be. So can you speak a little bit to what's popping into my head as watching people navigate the world of Facebook and what Americans have been through in the past year when love shows up and shame pushes back and says, you nasty liberals or you horrible people who believe that love is possible. How do we shield ourselves from the shame pushers or the guilt pushers who are saying, you know, live this fear-based life. It's the only way to be. Because I can see the polarization in our conversation here, that there are people probably out there who are like, I can't do this because there's so much darkness and density around me telling me that I'm wrong to love. Do you have anything to say to that that would ease the hearts out there?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I have thought a lot about this. And what I'm about to say may go against the grain of many, many people. And it's something that went against the grain in my book, actually. We need, so love can be the most amazing thing. And what I'm going to ask everybody to do, regardless of your political bent, is to send love to everything unto itself. So if you're somebody who does not agree with those in political power right now, I want you to find it in your heart to look at the part of you that is them. Yes, I know. I'm asking for a lot, and I get that. It's a big medicine. Is to look at that, where does that part of you live inside of you, and to send love not only to that part in your being, but also to those that you say are other, okay? Because the only way out of this is through love, I assure you. There is no other way, because if you meet anger with anger, you will only get more anger. If you meet fear with fear, you only multiply it. Shame with shame, the same thing. It grows, it intensifies. And the only way through this is through the door of love and forgiveness. And I know this to be true. It's a difficult medicine. And for those that are looking at the liberal side and saying, oh my God, you people are ridiculous, please do the same thing. Send love to anybody you disagree with. Find it within your being, that part of you that would deny the other. Because the only way through this particular time is for all of us to rise together. There cannot be any other. In wholeness, okay, there is everything. And I remember a wonderful teacher of mine years and years ago used to say, in an open, full belly, there's room for it all. All the love, all the hate, all the anger, all the joy, all the grief, all the happiness, all the love. And yet, I find myself being challenged by what I'm saying, but I actually, from my life experience, know that this is the only way that we are all going to grow. And perhaps it is in great purpose, actually, because until we can see that we have created the mess that we're currently in, there is no other. We're all a part of this, and we must heal it together. It's a big medicine, don't you think?
I think it's a huge medicine, and what I want to say to the listeners is that to turn the key on this doorway, it's going to feel like it's stuck. And there are days that I'm driving down the highway and someone aggressively attacks me in their car because I can feel the density coming at me on the highway, especially. And to turn to love and say, I forgive this person and I send them love. Or when someone flips me off or something for being a meditative driver, which I am, I'm slow and meticulous. It takes a lot to return to love, and I call this the cosmic dump. It is literally like allowing the density to leave your system and ask for love, and it's like going to the gym and working out your muscles. It does not feel good to build muscles sometimes, but once you have those muscles on your body, you feel so much stronger and so much better. So we're asking for love muscles, and this takes working
out. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not going to feel good. I remember the very beginning of my own journey. I can remember the very first time that a therapist suggested that I forgive my father. I was like, my head, if it could have swirled 360, it would have. I was like, excuse me? You want me to do what? Did you not just hear for a couple of years my story? And you know, and at first, and one thing I want to say about forgiveness and love is that if we don't feel it to be true in our hearts, we can't do that. We have to work our way up to it. So it's not like we're going to suddenly go, oh, yeah, okay, great, I love you, I send you love. No, you have to work your way towards that. And it took me many years of fighting within myself and my own psyche of why should I forgive somebody? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to send love to somebody that I find so hurtful, so despicable, so horrendous? Like, I don't get that. And it took me many years and many experiences before I did. And once I did, what I found is that we actually think we're forgiving the other, but in fact, we are actually forgiving ourselves. And that takes a lot of work to get to. So I agree, the key may seem very stuck at first, but if you stay with it, you will go through many layers before you will find yourself willing, wanting to love on that level, because it takes a lot. And I had to do probably 7 years of anger before I was even ready to even broach the subject.
7 years of anger. That's amazing.
Yes, it was. Thank God I had wonderful, wonderful healers and helpers, because that was a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to go down a different path. So go ahead, Ellen. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, and that's, you know, and we have to face that density. We have to be, as you said at the very beginning, we have to be very real about it. We can't deny it, especially now. We have to face it in order to get to the love.
Yes, face the density head on. And for you, all of you listening out there, love doesn't mean that you let go of your boundaries and you hurt yourself. I think in many cases, we feel like when we're forgiving or sending love to someone that's hurt us, that we're letting go of our boundaries. But it really means, from my perspective, I've done a lot of work on this right there with you, and it's about giving the garbage back to the other person's source power so that you can lighten your load. So again, as I'm listening to you, I'm computing this through my own healing history. And one of the biggest exercises is like, I've absorbed this energy of shame and guilt, and I'm holding myself back. It's the self-recognition of like, oh my gosh, these negative emotions are holding me back from what I want in life. I'm going to return this to this other person's source power, return the energy, return it, let them deal with it in their way, and I'm going to return to focusing on what makes me tick, what makes me light, what makes me happy. And that's where the forgiveness comes back to ourselves. We start taking responsibility for what's right here, right now, which is lightening our load. So that's where our show is going to kind of go now, into that lighter perspective. How can we start to lighten our load? What's the first step that you could share with our listeners to lighten the load of density?
Okay, the very first thing that I would love people to do is to think about, even ask this question, is there anything in this moment that I can be grateful for? And I don't know about you, Pam, but you know, when people tell me, you know, try this or do this, I'm always like, why should I? You know, and I can't really get excited about doing something unless I really understand it. And so, you know, the idea of gratitude is very nice and lovely. But, you know, I'm always looking for why. And what I have found recently is that they're doing a lot of research in the area of neuroscience, and what they're finding is that even if we ask the question, just simply asking the question, is there anything I can be grateful for in this moment, begins to change our neurochemistry. And that is actually really exciting. Now I can get on board. You know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I want to change my neurochemistry. So when we just ask, you know, is there anything in this moment that I can be grateful for? It doesn't have to be anything big. It can be like, oh, I'm grateful that I have two legs to walk on. I'm grateful that I can breathe. Thank God I can breathe. And I know that experience all too well. You know, so is there something you can be grateful for? As we begin to sit in gratitude, what happens is that it is alerting a neuro circuit in our brains, and it's releasing both dopamine and serotonin. So it acts as a natural antidepressant. And then as we sit there, if we are able to sit there more, there's a law, Hebb's law, that says things that electrons that wire together stay together. And so the more we are able to sit in gratitude, the more we're able to sit in the positive feelings of that, it actually changes the neural pathways. And likewise, the more we sit in shame or fear or guilt, it also strengthens that neural pathway. So we get to choose which neural pathway we want to strengthen. So that's the first thing. And I, you know, every day, if we can spend 5 minutes just thinking of some things to be grateful for, our chemistry will begin to change. On a physical level, what we can do is we can actually lean backwards over, say, a massage table or one of those big balls to open our chests. Most people, especially in America, they tend to curl around their hearts. It's a very protective mechanism, and yet it holds in all of those negative emotions. If we stretch and really open up that chest and breathe deeply in there, we begin to also change the chemistry of how we're feeling. And you can exaggerate it and see, you know, for yourself, like exaggerate, kind of imagine that you're, you know, like a person that doesn't feel good, and exaggerate that that physicality in your body, and then do the opposite and open up wide and breathe into your heart space. You'll begin to notice that something changes, that you don't feel so heavy. Once you do that, then you'll even begin to notice that you may get a smile on your face, or that new ideas about your life begin to shift, and you'll begin to feel quite much, much lighter. Does that make sense? I'm trying to describe what I'm doing at the moment. Do you see the visual, Pam?
Yes, I do. It's the opening of the heart space instead of curling around the negative emotions and holding on to the density like it's our best friend. What I like to teach people, just to complement what you're saying, is this density is not our friend. It causes sickness. It causes disease. It causes relationships to break apart, divorce to happen, family members to fly off from your life. And then we sit there in the negativity wondering, how did all this happen? And the simple solution is to reverse the circuit, like you're saying, and to take another pathway. So when you're talking about the neuro pathways, I just want to say to people out there from the chiropractic neuroscience geek inside of me that we really have to choose, like you said, a different pathway right now. And we can create these pathways in our brain-body connection. And it comes from shifting our body and opening our heart. And even if you feel super stuck, do it. Like, find a practitioner who can help you open your heart. And so, yeah, I heard you in many ways. I just wanted to mirror it back. Good.
Yes, and another thing that I'd like to suggest is that we often have ideas or expectations of how the world should be so that we would be fine.
Yeah.
You know, if only you would do X, then my life would be fine. You know, if only my husband would stop leaving his dirty laundry on the floor, I'd be great. And this is actually not true. And so I would like to challenge people to look at what are the expectations or the constructs that you're holding on to very dearly so that you will feel fine in your life. Because the only person that you can change is you. And as we change ourselves, the outside world shifts around us. And oh my gosh, I have had so many experiences of this over my lifetime, and I didn't believe it to be true. I remember the first time somebody said that to me, I was like, nope, that's not true. You know, if only, you know, I hadn't grown up in a certain way, then life would have been easier. It's actually not true. I know it looks true, but it's actually not true. So if we can begin to look at what are the ideas or the constructs or the expectations that we're holding on to that are actually keeping us stuck. And one of the ways you can simply do is sit down and complain about somebody on a piece of paper completely honestly. Pick whoever is bugging you and write down, if only you would, and then write it all down and look at the things that that person should be doing or the situation should be like. And you can do a few things with it. You can look at the places within yourself, like, for example, if only my husband would be more respectful of me. So then I have people look inside, where are they not respecting themselves? And likewise, can you respect that person more? And as you begin to shift those things within yourself, oh my God, like a magic, like just magic, suddenly you will find that people and the things that are bothering you in your life will shift for the better. It's quite miraculous. Have you ever done this?
Yes, I have not done that exercise. However, I have had relationships shift when I shift, and impossible relationships. Things that I never thought were shiftable change as I change my inner dynamic. And I do have to say, the closer I can be to love and in love with myself and feel it vibrationally, I have to agree that the world just takes form around me in a miraculous way. It is true. And you have to almost, for those of you who haven't lived this yet, trust the path that we're telling you and trust that we've walked it before you, and we are handing you this pearl of wisdom, which is love first and then life will change. Love yourself enough to change.
Absolutely. And keep looking, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop. It keeps, I once thought, you know, when I fix this within myself, everything will be fine and off I will go and live happily ever after. Well, it doesn't really work like that. I mean, it's just we keep growing, and as we grow, we will find new nuances of places within ourselves that need love. And as when you get to a place where you stop trying to fix yourself and just start realizing, okay, I'm going to step onto the path of healing, And it's going to be a lifelong journey or many lifetimes. We don't know for sure, however long it will take. And just be peaceful with the fact that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to have places in us that don't feel loved, and that, you know, our job simply is to just begin to love those places that feel unlovable and to not judge it. Oh, my goodness. You know, I think the hardest thing about self-awareness is that we get to a place where we're feeling really good about ourselves and then suddenly we notice a new area that needs work or needs more love, let me put it that way, and we suddenly feel defeated. It's like, oh, man, I thought I was getting someplace. And you are. It's just, it's a continuing evolution. So I think to look at it more from an explorer perspective and embrace the journey, no matter how many bumps, no matter how tough it might be to go, okay, if I take just the next step, I will feel better. I will feel, you know, more at peace with myself.
It is so true. So, yes, take a step today. Find a step and reach out to a healer. So, in closing, Ellen, I feel like this is a good place to close out a really conversation. So there's a lot for people to listen to here. You had mentioned doing some vibrational sound healing to close us out. Would that be an option right now? Or
absolutely, absolutely. So I think the best thing would be for me to use you, since we're here together, and if that would be okay with you, and I will give you some heart blessing through the sound. And the sound, even though I'll be directing it towards you, will be for everybody. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds good. So this is a great example. I just wanted to touch into something that we had written up in our description of this show, allowing permission to heal. So I fully allow my body permission to heal in this moment through your sound healing. And can you just, before you send the healing to me, talk a little bit about what is sound healing and how do you use it to help dislodge the dark density?
Absolutely.
In your practice?
So this sound healing came to me and was taught to me by guides that work with me. I never wanted to be a healer, actually, and it came to me after I spent 5 years healing and a lifetime of healing now. And when I finally said yes to being a healer, within about a few months, the guides that work with me began to say, okay, we would like you to put this sound into this person's body. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not going to do that. You know, I've gone far enough. And to make a long story short, they insisted, and finally I said, all right, I will do this. And so I was trained in sound healing, unbeknownst to me, because this was around 1988 at this point, and we didn't have the resources that we have today, you know, for me to look this all up. But sound healing actually has been used for thousands of years by almost every tribal group, indigenous group there is, and that has a form of medicine. And the amazing thing about sound is that there is no energy matrix that can be formed against sound. So when people sing or there is sound around you, it goes through your body. And so it's imperative that we use sound in a really respectful way because it goes into the cells of the person's being. I do not know what sounds will be made when I agreed to do a healing, so I will simply open my mouth and I say a prayer before I begin so that whatever sounds you need in this moment and will will come through. So there's no way for me to predict exactly what sounds will be utilized. And sometimes the sounds will go exactly where I will say, say that we're working on the heart chakra today or a heart opening for people. And so if the guides find that the sounds, in order to do that, let's say that the first chakra is blocked, they will open that with the sound in order that then the heart may receive it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, this sounds fun. This is good. And for all of you newbies out there, this is about letting go and trusting the process. So I'm right there with you. I do use sound, and I totally understand what you're saying. For those of you who are new to this, who are listening, this is about letting go and just going for the ride. It's like a roller coaster, when you have
it
to step
sure
onto that
is.
Roller coaster and say, I don't know what this is going to feel like, but I'm going to go for a ride.
I know, and people often
so
will say to me, good, people will often say to me, are you kidding me? You don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, nope, I have no idea. This is not up to me. This is guidance. So we'll just see what happens. And good. So all you need to do, and anybody who's listening, all you need to do is just take a breath and just allow the sound to come through you, to come through me into you. And I'll just take a moment and say a prayer, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Lahaya Maya Ma, Haya Maya. That feel in your being?
I felt it in my second chakra, in my below my navel. I felt a swirling, and then it went out into up through my chakras, up through my energy body, into my aura, like out into a little bit off my body, and it was swirly and blue. And just by the end of it, I felt completely relaxed, and I could feel my mind start to want to come in, and the sound wouldn't allow my mind in. It was pretty wild.
Oh,
it wanted
beautiful.
To come in and say something. Yeah.
Oh, those beautiful minds of ours, right?
It wanted to say, like, what's happening? What's she doing? Where's she getting the sound from? The analytical brain wanted to come in and question. And it was like it could not get through the swirls that were coming through the phone. It was so cool.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so just so you know and everybody else that will listen to this, the sound will continue to work with you and inform you about anything that needs to be released. So just allow, if you notice that you're feeling a little bit more vulnerable or a little bit sadder or happier, whatever it is, just allow it to work through you for today.
That is really incredible. It's already speaking to me. For all of you out there who know me, you know that I'm psychic. So, the pathway is really open for me, and I can feel these energetic little beings working with me and just telling me to relax, which was the theme of my day self-care, taking care of myself because I take care of so many other people.
So oh, I'm so wonderful. Glad. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, I'm delighted. Yeah. That's nice. Good. Good, good, good.
All right. Well, you can, is the best way for people to find you at your website?
Absolutely.
Ellen?
Yes. So it's www.ellennewhouse.com. Or you can join me on Facebook at Ellen Newhouse.
That's wonderful. And so I noticed that when we go to your website, there's a gift that you offer. What is that about? And what is the best way for people to tap deeper into some of the information? Like, how can they access your book or books,
yes,
plural?
So you can sign up on my website. And in fact, it goes with exactly what we're talking about today. It was about releasing healing, about releasing fear and shame and how to begin a deeper healing. And if you enjoyed the sound healing, part of the gift is one of the sound healings that I've done. And you can buy my book on Amazon. And there's on my website, you can find information about how to buy the book on Amazon, and the book is called Nothing Ever Goes On Here.
That is so great. Well, I really want to thank you for being on the show today and taking your time with us. And I do want to say, you know, looping back around to Rise to the Top and the female form of leadership, I believe that women's spirits are calling out for this type of work. I work with leaders all around the world who are being called by spirit to embrace this form of leadership. So what you've presented here today is really applicable to what women are being called to do. So thank you, Ellen, and it's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a joy, and I'm glad we got you some self-care. That makes me happy.
That's awesome. All right. Well, sharing it with the world. Thank you, everybody. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to either Ellen or myself. You can reach me at pamdenton.com and just have yourself an amazing day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.